Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 3rd of January, recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, Happy New Year to you all, and let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. I'll be fast on those. Stock markets, very strong where they were open. In Asia, that did not include China or Japan. They were closed. They were all higher, and we had some chunky gains. Hong Kong was up 2.4%, for instance. In Europe, which was open yesterday and scored strong gains, we had follow-through here today. Among the most impressive, we see, Sweden up 1.94%, Switzerland similarly. In the Americas, Brazil up 2.5% nearly. U.S. indices all up around 1.5%. Long-dated government bond prices for the USA fell quite sharply. And the U.S. dollar was weaker. And I think all commodities were stronger. Natural gas is down a penny. And I think rough rice was down a tiny bit, but I believe all other commodities were stronger. And precious metals romped against that background. Gold is currently back at 1602 and change. Silver up $1.75, takes it up to 29.62. In the oil complex, big gains, over $4 each. That takes Brent up to $112 and change. And the WTI is just below $103 as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as sometimes happens, the year has begun with a bang, and it'll be very interesting to see how much follow-through we actually get. I think the bang includes a fair amount of short covering, not least in a market like India, which picked up, incidentally. There is some better data out of China, and although China was still closed on the day, better manufacturing data elsewhere, and then the German unemployment figures were down. So, you know, a little bit of in the statistical or statistic du jour category, we had a little bit of improvement. But I think also people getting back from the holidays, the Christmas and New Year holidays, and having pared back their portfolios substantially, that led to some long buying, but also I think, as I say, a good deal of short covering overall. I hate to summarize it as a risk-on, risk-off day, but it fits the description. This was certainly a risk-on day all around. But what about the rest of the week, not to mention the rest of the year? Now, I've done an extensive review of stock market indices here today. I mean, the usual leaders, Indonesia, accompanied by Philippines in Asia, stand out. But given that Europe has been the focal point of investors' concerns for at least a year, I've reviewed a number of those, and you'll see an increasing number of those indices showing a clear progression of higher reaction lows, holding above lows that, as we had hoped and said at the time, were taking place following that climactic selling in August, and then tested again in September and tested again in October. And subsequently, we've been seeing higher reaction lows. It all looks like support building. And that stands out clearly on the chart, and an increasing number of these European indices are now pushing above their, or have pushed above their exponential 200-day moving averages. And we would need to see breaks in the mid-December reaction lows. That applies to a lot of indices around the world. We need to see breaks beneath the mid-December reaction lows to check this sideways to higher ranging that we are actually seeing. Then you get some stock markets like South Africa, which is testing its high, was certainly one of the strongest, easily one of the strongest stock markets in the world. We have Mexico, which isn't far behind South Africa. And more importantly, we've got the NASDAQ index, which is pushing towards its highs of last year once again. So there are a lot of positive technical developments here. And this is consistent with what we were saying for at least a couple of months, that I think more like 3 months, saying that what we were actually seeing was the end of the cyclical bear market, and therefore the beginning of a cyclical bull market. Now, obviously, there are big concerns out there, not least over Europe, but as I've said over and over again in these audios, that it's not surprising that people are alarmed over Europe, because the debt problems are absolutely enormous. And let's put it this way, they haven't exactly written the definitive playbook on how to maintain a single currency beyond its 10th anniversary. It's all been squabbling and half-truths and misstatements and contradictions and arguments and so on. We still have that single currency, and the ECB is doing what it needs to do if it wants to go on presiding over a single currency rather than being remembered for having presided over its demise. And that's being reflected now in some of the stock market activity, which was there was that consensus that we were going to get a complete breakup of the euro. Owen and I mentioned that on so many occasions, particularly last month, although it started earlier. And, I preferred to take the Europeans at their word, since the euro is a political construct, and they have avowed that they're going to keep the thing going. Now, do we get Greece dropping out later this year? And perhaps even Portugal? Or if not this year, at some future point? That wouldn't surprise me at all. Probably wouldn't surprise many people. I think it would have to happen voluntarily, as of some referendum in those countries. They're not going to get thrown out. So, on we go. And meanwhile, the valuations are attractive in Europe, and the valuations are certainly not unattractive in the USA. And there's some screaming bargain valuations in some of the emerging markets. The monetary policy is favorable and going to become more favorable, I believe, in the growth economies. So this is not a bad background overall. Now, if I'm wrong, if it's just the sort of brief, fleeting blaze of glory, in stock markets at the very beginning of January's trading, then we will, the first sign of trouble would be to see those mid-December lows taken out. Until or unless they are taken out, I think anybody looking at those charts will feel that they really should give the upside the benefit of the doubt. If those lows continue to hold, just going to pause for a cough. Excuse me. If those lows continue to hold, then I would feel that we would see some further softening in bond prices, in the safe haven bonds, such as bunds, such as U.S. Treasuries, such as gilts, meaning that yields push higher. In terms of precious metals, let's take the dollar first on this. The dollar's got a track record over the last year or more of weakening when animal spirits return to stock markets and strengthening when fear returns. That's understandable, and it's become almost knee-jerk. And we saw that again today, as I mentioned in my review. Now, that's not going to be the case for perpetuity. If this is a cyclical bull environment for equities worthy of the title, then I think we will see money flowing back into those growth economies and therefore strengthening their currencies, which have taken quite a battering. If you think that's going to happen, this is quite a good time for investors in the West to put money in those markets, because you're able to buy it more cheaply than was otherwise the case, not least American investors. And if this is a cyclical bull, as I believe, then, you know, these currencies can firm quite sharply, indeed, along with their respective stock markets. So weigh it all up. Maybe we get more sort of tedious drifting and ranging, but I think the chance of a melt-up is better than the chance of a meltdown. All right. It covers stock markets and the bonds and the currencies in here. What about these commodities? Well, starting with precious metals, for a decade or more, it is paid to buy them when they've been beaten down, and they were certainly beaten down near the lows that we saw early last week at the year end. And they're rebounding quite sharply here, but there was a fair amount of technical damage overall. And I think the interesting test that will occur is where they actually find support when we get the next reactive phase. Right now, they're rebounding. Gold in particular, that had fallen back down to its September low, which was a now you see it, now you don't low. Now you see it, now you don't type of low, in that it rebounded very, very sharply before coming back down and testing it and now rallying once again. So when we see another little reactive phase, where will that find support? Will it find support above, for instance, the end December lows? That would obviously be important in terms of a more bullish hypothesis. I'm a bit cautious in here. For the time being, I'm a bit cautious in terms of seeing more than a technical rally at this stage. And crude oil pushed up over $4. Well, we don't want to see too many days like that, or the inflation concerns and the growth slowing concerns would reappear, and that would remain the main threat to the more optimistic economic more optimistic market scenario rather that I've outlined for equities. Today's strength would have had something to do with the firmness of stock markets and a great deal to do with Iran's bellicose statements telling a U.S. Aircraft carrier not that it was leaving the Gulf region on one of its scheduled rotational moves, but telling it not to return and threatening, they've been sending out missile strikes over the holidays, and not missile strikes, but missile tests rather over the holidays, so on. So that's got the oil traders a little bit nervous, because where they might have otherwise been happy to short on the basis of supply and demand, they don't want to wake up and find that Israel or the U.S. Has attacked Iran's nuclear installations, knowing that that could cause a spike in the price of crude. Well, I don't think we're going to see that type of military action against Iran, but the situation is not exactly reassuring, to put it mildly. So that's one of the major concerns. But for day at any and for today at any rate, it all belongs to the bulls. So, on that note, all the best, and I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow.